In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
On this first day after Pascha, known as the New Sunday, or the Anti-Pascha, that which is in place of Pascha, the next Sunday, the eighth day from our Lord's resurrection, we remember this event of Thomas's encounter with the Lord. And so we call this Thomas Sunday. And there's a revelation that comes through us through Thomas's doubt. And the Lord allows this to take place, of course, for Thomas to miss that first appearance of the Lord to the other disciples so that he would go through this experience, so that through his doubt, his struggle, we would become more confirmed in our faith. But you know, I also think of how in former days, in the place where I was before I came to the Orthodox Church, the Sunday after Easter was referred to as Low Sunday. And my understanding is that that usually had to do with the fact that there was usually low attendance. So it was called Low Sunday. But there's, of course, another meaning to this. When we celebrate Pascha, we're like on a peak, full of joy. And then Bright Week, which has the potential for us to continue with that joy unabated. Often what happens is that we lose our momentum. We lose the grace. We lose the grace. This is why I always say, come to as many services as possible during Bright Week, you know, because it's so easy for us, having been filled with that joy, to quickly go back to the world, to start overeating all the things that we've been fasting from, and now we're excited to be able to eat them again, but we start eating a little too much and we lose our vigilance. We lose that prayerfulness. Of course, you know, during Holy Week, during Lent, perhaps we were more vigilant, we were watchful, we were following our Lord's commandment to his disciples, watch and pray. But when Pascha comes, there's joy, and there's a kind of sense of like relief and celebration and all of those things. That's all good. But we can't lose the vigilance. We can't stop watching and praying. Because when we do, you know, it's like you open the windows and all the grace goes out, you know, rather than keeping that grace within. So, we may experience around this time, or if not today, then maybe next Sunday or this coming week or at some point, and certainly as a principle in our lives, we have the high points, the peaks, the celebrations, the joy, the exuberance of the grace, the newness, when we first convert or whatever it might be. And then eventually we come to a point where we're low. We feel burnt out. We feel maybe confused. We don't have the same sense of purpose. We don't have the same sense of direction. We've lost our momentum. And so we come to a low point. Now, Father Zacharias from the monastery in Essex, England, Father Zacharias speaks of the stages of the spiritual life in terms of the first grace which we received in our, you know, at the time of our baptism, maybe when we first converted, or these things can happen to us again throughout our life. We can sort of have new grace given to us by God, injected into our life, and we feel joyful. We're encouraged, we're zealous, and so on. But then he says the second stage inevitably comes, which is the stage in which we experience the withdrawal of grace. And this is something providential. This is something allowed by God that we go through, that everyone experiences. The saints experience this, you know. A time of the withdrawal of grace. Now, is God really far distant from us during those times? No. He's right there. He's right there with us. He's watching. He's like with St. Anthony when he went through his all-night struggle with all the beasts attacking him, and in the morning he was lying there all, you know, beaten up. And he said, and then the Lord appeared to him. He heard the Lord's voice, and he said, "Where were you, Lord?" And he said, "I was here the whole time, watching your struggle, and you know, watching to see if you would be courageous." And you were, Anthony. And so this is how we make progress. And so Father Zacharias says, God permits this to happen to us so that we can mature in our faith, so that we don't remain, not childlike, but childish, immature in our faith, so that our faith can grow, and so that we can come to know ourselves, because that's a big part of that maturity, for our hearts to be revealed, first of all, to ourselves. So Father Zacharias has a sermon on this Sunday, and listen to what he says. We see that God permits Thomas to waver so as to teach us the mysteries of his kingdom. Through his providential and blessed doubt, he makes known to us the true law of faith. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Right? So Thomas wanted to touch, he wanted to feel, he wanted his eyes to see. Like so often we say, "Lord, just give us a sign, you know, or just do this for us," or whatever. And so God permitted in Thomas's case, just like for us, many times he gives us those blessings, that grace, a little help, a little carrot to keep leading the donkey along, you know. And so this is what he does for Thomas. But then he says, the Lord says to him, because Thomas, then he says, "Now I believe, my Lord and my God." And that's really a beautiful, wonderful response. But we want to keep that expression and that sense in our hearts, "My Lord and my God," you know. He's the one, let's cling to him. We want to keep that even through that long period going through the desert, that time of dryness, that time when we don't feel as excited. And so the Lord says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." When we go through those times of not seeing and yet we remain faithful, we choose faith because it is a choice. As St. Nikolai Velimirovich says, faith is a moral choice. We are always blessed when we base everything, Father Zacharias says, we are always blessed when we base everything on the promise of God. On the promise of God. Whether we see him within us or whether we do not see him, our trust remains undiminished and we cleave to his commandments and to his spirit without suffering change. Right? Without ceasing to believe. Without ceasing to cling to our Lord and to cling to his commandments. Father Zacharias says, "This is the law which the church gives us on Thomas Sunday, rekindling the words of the Lord." So we have this idea of the stages of the spiritual life. We've been given the grace, now we experience the challenge. And of course, eventually will come the third stage, which is perfect grace. For most of us, that's not going to come maybe until the end of our life, you know. But the Lord keeps giving us blessings all along the way. Every year we go through a cycle, right? We go through all the feasts and we come back to Pascha. We go through Lent again, we experience Pascha again, because this is always teaching us, remember, God is with us. My Lord and my God. Right? Even when we don't see. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. When we experience the joy of the resurrection, or when we are new to the faith and zealous and this kind of thing, this is Father Zacharias again, speaking, you know, about this kind of experience. Maybe we haven't experienced it exactly as the way he describes it, but at least hopefully we can identify with the general idea. We were even allowed to accept insults from others without reacting by that grace, without putting them in their places. You know, when other people insult us and we want to put them in their places, he's saying when we have the grace, it's easy to accept the insult and not put people in their places, without demonstrating our intelligence and superiority. When the Lord was present in our heart, we were ready to humble ourselves, eager to pray, and the memory of God could not leave us, either while sleeping or waking. His words were so sweet in our heart and on our lips that we wanted to continuously study the scriptures. But then, After that kind of an experience, then the trials come. And they come providentially so that we can, our hearts can be revealed. So Father Zacharias says, afterwards, however, God permits us to be tried and withdraws this palpable grace. The grace diminishes. And as it diminishes, often it ebbs away so far that we feel complete dryness. Then, however, our true heart and our true intention will be revealed. Not when we feel great, when we feel the pain, when we feel the sorrow, when we feel that sense of despondency. Then our true heart and our true intention is revealed. Will we be faithful to Christ then, to His commandments, His church, in spite of the dryness? This reveals the true state of the heart. Father Zacharias again, for as Gregory Palama says, dishonor has tried the heart. Dishonor, provocation which we receive from someone, the dryness we feel when grace is removed from us, or the pain that we suffer when we are tried in this life will reveal our true heart. We are blessed if we hold on to the lesson the Lord gave us through the experience of His resurrection. So this time of trial gives us self-knowledge, gives us awareness of our weakness. And again, Father Zacharias, if in this period of desolation and dryness we refer the same prayers to God and remain standing with the same faith before Him, giving Him glory, honor, and righteousness in spite of everything, taking upon us the shame and the offense, then we are truly blessed. Because blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. In this way, we learn to imply apply every art and detect every humble thought. He has this idea of being creative, of being artful in our life of prayer, a man in love with a woman, with his wife. He wants to show his love, and he's creative, and he writes a poem, and he finds roses, and does anything he can to show his love, right? To convince her that he loves her. It's like this, to be artful, to be creative, to detect every humble thought, which will bring us closer to Christ, so that the second period of the spiritual life, the period of testing, which God providentially allows, becomes creative, he says. Independently of whether we feel the presence of God in our lives or not, we maintain the firm faith that the Lord is true and has shown forth His truth through His love and death. As Christ says in the Gospel, it's not what comes from without that defiles the heart. You remember the Pharisees are giving Him a hard time because He didn't wash His hands before He ate. This is not what comes from without that defiles the heart. It's what comes out of the heart that defiles the man, right? And if we are experiencing these things, despondency and hopelessness and despair, that's because those things are lodged in our heart and they have to be expelled. It's not the circumstances that bring those things on. It's that those things are within us and we have to be healed of them. And the circumstances simply show us that reality. They reveal our heart to ourselves. What is the really important thing? Father Zacharias asks. It is not whether we suffer, whether our desires are fulfilled, whether we live, whether we die. The only thing that is important is that we know that He is risen from the dead and that we find contact with Him and are well-pleasing to Him following His commandments. He emphasizes, Father Zacharias, following the commandments. Again, the choice to be faithful. Not necessarily seeing, but nevertheless knowing that Christ is risen, and therefore, Lord, whatever You call us to do, we will do, because You are the resurrection and the life. And this, of course, means remaining faithful to all we've been given in the Orthodox Church, because this is how we concretely demonstrate and cultivate even our humble, sacrificial love for God, which is creative, as Father Zacharias says. For us, He Our true God remains God, our Lord Jesus Christ. For us, he remains God, blessed and good unto all ages, and we are his servants forever. Such faith overcomes the world and shares in the victory of the risen Christ. Amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed. He is.